Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Matt's Trucking Great Podcast. Squeaky here. Today, I'm joined by Matt Ireland, Jim Boy, and Alex as well. So, first of all, I'll come across to you, Matt. How are you, mate?
I'm very good, mate. How are you?
I'm living the dream.
Good, good. Glad someone is.
Very hot today, though.
It's not as bad as what it's been, though, is it? The temperature's certainly around here, it's dropped. It's not nowhere near as bad as what it has been.
So what have you been on with today? Where are you? What are you doing?
So I'm back from my Greek run the other week and just sort of back to the norm today. So just fetch a skip from Red Lodge, which involves dodging around some molten tarmac on the A143 because our country can't quite cope. And then just up to King's Lynn, do a trailer change there. I shan't go into my colleagues' actions because that would fill a podcast. Trailer change there and back. Tip that off. So two jobs in a day, covered in dust, usual sort of scenario, but it's all good fun, isn't it? And then I just got the one tomorrow, so early start, but all going well. We finished early because last week I actually had one trailer of sawdust stick and we were about 3 hours tipping because it just would not move. I don't know. Yeah, it was so hot. I don't know whether it was just a bit of moisture in the air, in the woods, what it was, but the walking floor just would not move it, and we pretty much had to dig the length of the trailer out to just get it tipped. And in the heat wave of last week, and I was trying to keep my PPE on to avoid getting, and I was just wringing with sweat. It was just,
I can imagine.
Yeah,
not
a pretty sight.
A bit, being obviously not living in the truck, I would imagine that you probably don't have spare clothes and stuff with you to get changed in that, do you?
Nothing at all. Admittedly, when I unload at that particular place, because I'm normally on a little Widerman shovel to push it to the side, that's sort of what we do there. So I've normally got a pair of wellies on, like the full-on, like a forensic investigation scene.
Oh, suit. No.
That and mask, goggles, gloves. I mean, I half stripped half of that off, but I was like, I'm not going to go and change and put my boots on and all that because they'll then just fill with sawdust and I'll have wet sawdust filled boots to drive home. And so I just kept me wellies and
like a nightmare.
It was just one of them days. And I know I've got an easy life most of the time, but sometimes it's not as easy as some people think. but again, like I say, because I don't live out the cab, I'll go home and have a shower. So I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
You know,
there is that.
Yeah, I am absolutely riddled with it. And it's when you're all sweaty and sticky and horrible, it is grim and it's horrible driving like that. It really is. But
I'm sat now with the aircon on and the engine running because it's just too hot. I'm parked up at Newark, it's boiling.
Yeah,
but we should bring Alex in and say hello to Alex. How are you, mate? You okay?
I'm good, Squeaky. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, mate.
You're hot at Newark.
Hot at Newark. I am. The showers at Newark as well are the push button showers, so you can't control the temperature of the water. So in this heat, when you want a cold shower, you can't.
Oh, brilliant.
So where are you tonight, mate? Where are you parked?
I'm up in Scotland, and I'm parked outside a company we use at Denny, near Falkirk.
All right.
A trailer picked it up from the dock this morning, come over from Denmark, and it's got some stuff that's gone over on it. The stuff that's gone over that they didn't strap went from Italy to Denmark when it was meant to go to Scotland. So while it's been transshipped and all that, I've got a 20-ton piece of machinery in the middle with an empty bay at the front of the trailer, but they've double-stacked everything. These pallets have gone all over. So I've got a 9 o'clock start in the morning into this company here, and they'll sort it all out for me.
Wow. Yeah, sounds like you're having a right day of it.
What a bit of planning.
I know. So, well, it was going on to Edinburgh, so it's only half, about 35 mile up here to Denny. So I parked right outside the company and they'll sort it all out tomorrow. They'll deliver it as well. They'll take it all off and sort it and deliver it. So I've got an easy day tomorrow.
Get a bit of a lie-in as well, I suppose, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I won't bother setting the alarm. Do you know what, mate? But like you're saying about the heat, I've been really lucky the past few weeks, you know, with all these heat wave things. Mm. Well, summer days, as I like to call them. I've been up here in Scotland a lot where it's been a bit cooler, you know what I mean? So I had no trouble. So
yeah, very nice. Very nice. Jim on the side as well. Hi, mate, you all right?
Oh, mate, sorry. You've been talking. I've been doing my diary and doing my fiddle sheet for the last 10 minutes.
How are you? Okay?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, I'm good. I've got a shin splint today from playing golf yesterday in the heat. It was lovely, though. Played terrible. Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Yeah.
So,
all good.
Where are you parked?
I'm back at our Bridge Road depot, which is the old Shreddy Wheat Factory in Wedding Garden City. They're doing some kind of land development here, but we're allowed to park in the trailer park. And I've got my bonnet open. I've not got the old string out, though, with my undercrackers there drying out in the sun.
Well, no, but, you wouldn't do, would you? Because you don't wash yours.
No. Oh, God. What day of the week is it? Yeah. No. Anyway, yeah, so. Yeah, it's been all right. Had a decent weekend. Nice to get
lovely
back.
Job.
A little job up to Manvers today, the next place there.
Reloaded, oh God.
Down in Blythe Services, near there. And pulled it back down to the yard, pulled the pin, and dropped a trailer and watching my mate Gav over there cleaning his tank with his orange wheels and his new DAF-XG.
Oh,
orange
lovely.
Wheels, black rims. They look absolutely amazing. Well, I'll put a picture up for people to see on the social.
Yeah.
But he's really, really turned that truck around. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I saw the picture of the wheels today, didn't it?
Yeah,
it really looks good.
Stand out. I mean, he spent a few quid, but you know, he's happy in what he does. He's just come back from Greece, so yeah, look after him. But talking to Clean Lawrence and that, I was fortunate enough to go last week to the Gatehouse Truck Show down in Mersey Island, and it didn't flood either, which was quite good. It was really well attended. I think Brad the Jam Man had about 170 trucks there. They had the guy from Trucking Sounds there with a fire engine. I got a request as well. And if you ever want to listen to Dusty Strings, you want to hear that through that fire engine. It was unbelievable. He raised a few. Yeah, they had a band playing there called Geared Up Garage, who's their truck drivers themselves. They'd done some couple of numbers there. It was quite good. Met some new friends. Met a guy called Trucker Sinbad. What a laugh he was. I ended up cleaning his truck with Hi-Style for him. I met Costa Queen, a lovely lady. You know, just loads of people there. Really, really well done. I think next year, he's going to do it next year. It's little tweaks he needs to do, but it was still a really good show and a really good atmosphere. It was spotlessly. You're seeing drivers as well picking up their own rubbish and stuff, or other people's rubbish. That sort of thing. Really well. It was really, really good. They had a no air horn policy, but that sort of went out the window.
Just give them another plug, the name of the show.
The show was the Gatehouse Truck Show. But it's a truck show. You bring anything down. There was cars and Land Rovers and motorbikes there. Lightning McQueen there as well, which is quite good.
Cool.
That was a frightening proper little car, that. Lovely area. I didn't have any shower facilities, but the toilets were plenty. A decent, you know, a local bar was a fiver a pint.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really good. They had little they had guys there from Mindful Truckers. Mental Truckers, I think they're called.
Yeah,
I think they'd be good to have a listen to. They've got a story to tell. There's a few guys that had little stalls there. I've got a T-shirt. I've got actually a work shirt that they're going to print for me for 20 quid. Really, really good.
Yeah,
Brad,
nice.
Brad is such an infectious bloke when you speak to him. He has got, he speaks to so many people, but every time he speaks to me, he's got so much time for you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real art, isn't it? You know, a real art to do. And, a great guy. And he's met his lovely wife as well. They've done a big raffle. They raised a few quid for a couple of the charities. One was the Rainbow Trust, I think it was. And the other one went to, the Mindful Truck. I should know the name. I'd be right.
Mental Truckers. Yeah.
Mental Truckers. That was it. Mental Truckers.
Yeah. Good. Beautiful. So how's things? I was going to ask about the motorhome, but I suppose we should do a little bit of a backstory first.
I don't want to run too much in quiz time. So, I'm going to be, you know, my dad died and I live with my dad. Anyway, the house has got to go. It's been split up four ways. So I've been left a few quid and I don't want to rent anywhere. The renting prices around here to use it for 4 days a month is ridiculous. It's over £1,000 a month. So I just thought I'm going to buy myself a motorised home, a bit like Max and Paddy on the road, you know.
Filthy pig.
And
How dare you?
PW Gates are kind enough so I can park here in the week and then I can move it off site at the weekend. And I'm going to do a bit of floating about. And I don't know too much about motorhomes or caravan living or anything like that. I've done a bit of camping, that's it. But, you know, if anybody else is listening has got a motorhome, have got any ideas, drop me a personal, drop it in the messages and say, oh, Jim, you'll need this, Jim, you'll need that. That'd be awesome. And also, if you're, if you're going to someone, think, oh, I wonder if Jim from the podcast wants to go. You hook me up, we'll swap phone numbers and I'll come with you. I'll do it. I'll be free most weekend. So, yeah, it'll be really good.
Lovely job.
We're Max and Paddy, Paddy and Max, and best of all, we don't pay council tax.
So, yeah, I mean, people might think I live in this box all week and I'm going to go and live in another one. But the night like this, I mean, if it's parked, I'm going to be going over there and I'll kick the order out, get the barbecue going.
Yeah.
That is my idea. But I hope it works out for me. I know it sounds a bit self-centered.
I hope it does, Jim. I hope it does. There's no reason why it shouldn't.
Exactly. I can't see you and Paula, mate, and then I can give her your glasses back.
Yeah, exactly.
If most blokes are totally honest, and I hope and pray that my wife don't listen to this, but you are living, or you will be living, most blokes' dreams. Like, if we wasn't married with kids and mortgage and all that sort of, we would all want to do that.
I'd do that. If anything happened, like obviously I've said before, I live at Paula's in her house, like, you know. And if anything happened between us, like, I would do the same without even hesitating. I'd get a caravan. That'd be me. No,
that is a story that's repeated to almost every driver I've spoken to about it.
Yeah,
because
we're conditioned from such an early age that you've got to have bricks and mortar. You've got to get on the property ladder. You've got to get a good job. You've got to do this. Yeah. You've got to do that. And before you know it, sort of 20, 30 years have gone by, and all you've done is get up every morning, go to work to pay for the bricks and mortar.
Yeah.
That you're then going to leave to somebody else anyway.
Yeah, and I think in the last sort of 10 or 20 years, there's been such a switch with the price of houses going up so much. It's just becoming unaffordable, whereas a van, especially a self-converted van rather than a motorhome, is actually a viable way of basically getting your freedom from your parents and getting out there in the world. Yeah. So why not travel and enjoy yourself, you know? I think it's slow. I mean, I'm in a very fortunate position that working for Trans Am all them years, being away so much, I could earn good money to put a deposit down. And for a while, my brother was living with me because he needed someone to live, so I made it cheap so he could live there, and another friend, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm in a very fortunate position, but, you know, I could well have not been very easily.
Yeah.
And I would be really struggling, caught in that catch 22, because you've got to have bricks and mortar. No, you don't. Not at all.
No,
I'm just different. I would love to buy a motorhome, but I can't afford it. But one day, either a converted van or a motorhome, I will, just so I can be like Jim and, right, this weekend, off there, I haven't got to worry about finding a hotel, blah, blah, blah. We're just going to go and do that. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, no, not worrying to park anywhere. But we all park in industrial estates and lay-bys and truck stops.
Yeah.
We can do exactly the same in a motorhome.
Yeah, you just need less space.
Less space, yeah.
I think it's getting to be quite a common thing. I think there's a lot of people doing it in there now. You know, when you look on the social media, TikToks and stuff like that, there's loads of people doing it. And, you know, like when you go down into Bristol, I mean, Bristol's a dump anyway, isn't it? Unless anybody's listening from Bristol, and I love it.
I like Bristol.
Do you? Oh,
yeah, I do.
But when you come down on the M32 down into Bristol towards Temple Meads, and there's loads of caravans at side of road and stuff like that people are living in, and that, you know, there's a big problem in Bristol with people living in.
But that's kind of like trying to judge like London on Bermondsey and bloody Isle of Dogs, you know. It's just not the best part,
I don't like the one-way system. I don't like the ring road. I just don't like Bristol at all.
I've planned a trip, me and you, in the motorhome. We're going there first thing, mate.
For a week?
You driving?
Me and you, Alex, we're going down there, mate. We're going to go down to that harbour to see if we can fish that bloke out that they pushed in.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Coulson. Was it Edward Coulson? Yeah, he's so popular down there, isn't he?
I like the Bristolian accent, though, to be fair.
Where is he to, then? That's brilliant. Ship shape and Bristol fashion.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Cheers, Troy.
Edward Coulson.
One of Squeaky's first quiz question is, what was the geezer's name that got thrown in the harbour?
you do realise that at this point, we haven't even told the listeners what we're doing on this.
Jim has.
Twice now.
Anyway, yes.
Even though, again, we did a rundown at the beginning of what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, how we're going to... He managed to sit on his hands and be quiet the whole time that I spoke to you, Matt, the whole time I spoke to Alex, and then the first sentence that came out of his mouth earlier was about the quiz.
Yep.
Anyway.
I don't know what to say.
clearly.
Oh, everybody picks on you, Jim, isn't it? They're all picking on you.
You know, it's a bit like, it's exactly like the CB app, mate. On that CB app, brought to you by Midland Communications, GBR truck. He just picks on people. Yeah. I don't know why we get so many people coming through the door now. They hear squeaking. They go, what do you want? And then they bugger up.
That keeps the riffraff out.
Don, Jim's still there.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Anyway, so without further ado, I suppose really what we should explain what we're going to do.
Over to you, Jim.
Yeah. Tonight, first of all, I have my apologies there. I messed up there, and I'd like to say I'm sorry to Ryan for bursting his bubble again, and I promise to be quiet for the rest of the show.
It wouldn't be the same, would it? Yeah. The irony is,
and as if that's going to happen.
Every single episode, there is something. And on the last episode, where we had Daryl on, the mobile crane operator, the editor actually edited this piece out. But I had a question wrote down, ready to ask Daz, and Jim asked it, and I went, I threw my arms up in the air and went, he's done it again, and that got taken out. But anyway, so this episode, today's episode, this week's episode, we're going to do a little quiz, a little trucking related quiz.
Oh, I had no idea.
Well, what a surprise.
So Alex, Jim and Matt are going to go head to head on a 10 question trucking quiz, so that and also the listeners at home, if you want to play along, then you can just get yourself a little pen and paper, and unless you're driving, don't do it if you're driving, but yeah, get a pen and paper to hand. They're just 10 simple questions that we're going to whiz through, a little bit of discussion in between each one. So yeah, this is Squeaky's Big Fat Quiz of the Year. Are you ready, boys?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so have you got your crayons ready, Alex?
I have, yeah. Yeah, I have.
I've chewed mine.
Yeah, chewed mine.
Yeah. Mine up my nose.
That's not your nose. That's not your nose, Matt. Unless they're not your crayons.
I thought I was missing a nostril.
Okay.
Come on, keep it clean.
Question number one. In what country will you find sections of a famous autobahn that has no mandated speed limit? So just write your answer down. Don't say it out loud. Have you wrote it down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you like the way they say it or the way we say it?
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah. Just mute him.
Yeah.
All right. Alex, what did you write?
Germany.
Deutschland.
Matt.
Germany.
Well done. Yeah, Germany. Oh,
the Autobahn, give it away.
Yeah, well, that, obviously, I have to give you some sort of clues, don't I? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a motorway. Which country's motorway?
He's dealing with Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do Germans call motorways? Autobahns. That would have been a better.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what is a Kraftwerk song about sections of road that are possibly unlimited on speed?
Yeah, Autobahn?
Correct.
Yeah, but
there you go.
Some people might not know.
True.
You know, some listeners might not know that.
Hey, hang on, Simon.
Are they all on this level, Squeaky? Are they all on this level? Because I'm a bit worried about this.
No, I'll ask you.
I'm not, because if they're this level, I'm definitely going to win.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
I'm going to ask a bystander. Hello, Simon. Welcome to the quiz.
Hello.
Which country would you find autobahns in? Don't do that, Stein.
Come on,
Germany. There you go. A complete bystander. Thank you, Simon. Carry on with your cleaning.
A complete bystander who's a truck driver.
Yeah.
Who's been to Europe?
Apparently Germany's over there somewhere.
All right, question number two. If you join the M25 at Junction 25 and you travel five junctions, in an anti-clockwise direction, what junction will you be at?
Oh.
Anti-clockwise.
If you join the M25 at Junction 25 and you travel five junctions in an anti-clockwise direction, which junction will you be at?
Do you want just the number or the actual...
The number will suffice, but if you can give me the name of the place as well, that...
How many? Yeah. Five or six?
Five joints.
Oh, come on, Jim.
25.
Okay, I've got my answer.
Alex?
I've put junction 20.
Jim?
21.
Matt?
I've put 20. Now, is there an A in there or something like that?
Yeah, there is, isn't there? There's junction 21A, because you've got the M1 south, haven't you, come off before or something?
I couldn't think where junction 25 is.
Junction 25 is just after Waltham Abbey, isn't it?
I can't remember.
The A10 junction. So you're 24, 23, so
is that Enfield?
21.
Right.
Is that Enfield? Yeah, Enfield.
Just chat GPT yes. It live whilst we're here now.
I can't. It's going to take too long to do that because I've got huge fat fingers.
Okay, so me and Matt are right then. I'm right. That's we'll go with that one.
So
I'm right.
I did the same as what Jim's done, and I had to go through it a couple of times, and I ended up chat GPTing it twice. In fact, I did it again just before we came on to record, and it's junction. And the answer that I got was junction 20 at Hemel Hempstead.
Oh, right. Really? Junction 20. Yeah.
So even though there's an A, that's not seen as an actual junction.
No.
Well, is it part of 21, isn't it? It's part of 21 otherwise,
isn't it?
It's
the same as 21, so it's 21A is part of the same junction. If you were to travel five junctions, then you would be at junction 20.
So if you asked a question, and it was part A and part B, it's still the same question number, isn't it?
Essentially.
So it's the same with the junctions.
I suppose so, yeah. But it made you think, though.
All right, then. So people, when people want to go around to the M1 tomorrow from the A12, count five junctions and then see how you get on the M1 north.
Well, that's why I said chat GPT it.
Yeah, but I know for a fact there's more than five junctions between the A12 and the M1. Even I don't know. You got the A1 first.
Yeah. I think that I wasn't sure. Is it Hemel Hempstead? Where's Rickmansworth? Is that around that way, isn't it?
That's 18. 19's right, a close junction. 19's Hunton Bridge, but there's no exit for that one if you're going anti-clockwise.
Oh, right, okay.
So no, so I got the question wrong then, even though it is literally the fifth junction. Yeah.
Well, it's not really, is it? It's not really, Jim, is it? Because you got the answer wrong.
No, what?
Go back to Tuny Crayons.
I've given myself 2 points for being clever for that one.
Oh, yeah. I failed to mention, you need to top up your own points as well as you're going along.
All right, okay. All right. Well, we've got two out of two, mate, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, mate, yeah.
Yeah. What have you
Jim's
got, Jim?
Jim's fuming.
I've only got the one at the moment. Yeah.
Do you know what, mate? And he knows the junctions as well, bless him.
That question was put in there specifically for Jim.
Oh, there we go. It's a bit of favouritism.
Especially with him in Hempstead.
Yeah. And you know, right, chat GPT is. Let's just put this question to our 12 listeners that we have. Which one is it? Carry on.
He's not happy. He's not happy, is he?
Jim's not happy. He's not laughing now, is he?
I want to swear.
He's going to exit the meeting in a minute.
Yeah.
He's going to rip his microphone off. Headphones across the cab. The phone's going under the wheel.
Yeah. He's going to beat up that bystander.
Poor old Simon's not
going to know what's happened to his kneecaps. Yeah. Come here, I've got a question to ask you. Going to clap him around the ear hole.
Hang on a minute, can I get that one right then?
Perhaps we should have had Simon in it for the quiz rather than Jim.
Right, question number three. This one's a really nice, easy one. Remember to write your answers down. Question number three. On what UK motorway would you find Birch Services?
How do you spell Birch?
B-I-R-C-H. B-U-R-C-H.
I've changed my mind. I'm going with that one now.
Go on, Jim, what have you got?
M62.
Alex. 62.
Matt.
I think it's the M62.
Oh, has he wrote it?
You've got to write it down.
Yeah, we've got it written down. I like Birch. It's always a good stopping point. It's got a Marks and Spencer's.
It's a great stopping point if you're going to Derby.
That question's in there. correct answer is M62. Okay, question number four. Russia's most famous motorway is a high-speed toll road stretching 684 kilometres, stretching between which two big cities?
Ooh.
And a bonus point if you can name the road number.
Well, is this, can I use ChatGPT on this one? Okay. All right. Hang on.
Well, I've no idea. I've took a punt on the road number, and I don't know why.
Don't let Matt go first.
Just repeat the question.
Russia's most famous motorway is a high-speed toll road stretching 684 kilometres, stretching between which two big cities?
I don't know. I'm going with my answer. It's coming into my head.
For the audio listeners, Matt is sat with his head in his hands.
Yeah.
Really embarrassed. Contemplating.
Embarrassed.
Yeah.
Yeah. While he was travelling this road, he was on his Tinder profile.
Yeah. Have you got your answers locked in?
I didn't need that there, mate.
The other bloke was driving. He was in his bunk.
Exactly. Yeah. Fast asleep.
Have you got your answers?
I've got an answer.
Answers wrote down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jim?
I've got St. Petersburg to Moscow.
Alex?
I've got Moscow to Stalingrad, the M50.
Matt?
I've put Moscow, St. Petersburg, and I think it's the M10, but I'm not convinced.
So it's Moscow to St. Petersburg, and the bonus point for the road number was the M11.
One out.
All right, so do I get...
How'd you get on that one, Alex? All right.
I've got a point for Moscow.
No, you've
got
to get it all right.
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got a cross for that one, Jim, to be honest.
Because I was starting to think about... It's not really all motorway from memory.
Look, it's at the time. Matt, we better go on with question five.
Oh, hello.
On a technicality.
Technically, well, it's not five junctions.
Yeah.
So what was you going to say, Matt?
I was just then trying to think, because you've got a motorway runs up from Brest or Minsk up to Moscow, but that's not a particularly famous city, is it? So Moscow and Petersburg are going to be the two famous ones that everyone's going to know, really, aren't they?
Apart from me.
Apart from Alex, obviously.
Yeah, apart from me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm too busy. Marks and Spencer's on the M62.
You're too busy getting your provisions to go out there.
yeah, exactly, yeah. And then I'll think about it and go back in again. Get me great.
Go in at 9 o'clock when they put all the yellow stickers on everything.
Yeah. Great, that's what I like. Marks and Spencer's great.
Question number five. In what year were digital tachographs introduced and made mandatory for all new vehicles?
I know.
Write it down.
Got it.
Write it down.
I don't think that was...
In what year were digital tachographs introduced
and made
mandatory?
I've still ain't got one
for all new vehicles.
You're supposed to have one, Alex. Modern ones.
I've said it confidently. Then I'm questioning myself. So, hang on, is this right? It's going to be like Popmaster being 1 year out, isn't it?
when did I have my first chocolate? Oh, it was Devaney's, I think. So about, that don't mean anything.
Because the thing is, because the same year you could still get paper card motors. Because I'd driven like newer registered vehicles still with a paper card, but others had a digi card, and it was awfully confusing.
Have you wrote your answers down?
I don't. I'm going to go for a guess, and I have no idea.
Alex Scott's got to go first.
Yeah.
Okay, I've written it down. I'm going for 2006.
Jim?
20 years ago, 2006.
Is it? Seriously?
Matt?
2006, the year I started at Trans Am.
May 1st, 2006.
Because I also was driving on occasion my mate Simon Olive's 06 Super Space Cab, but that had a paper card still. Because when I started the Trans Am, I didn't actually have a digi card. I hadn't even thought about that and ordering one. They would give me a rental truck and I couldn't drive it because I didn't have a card. So I had to have a different Mercedes Axor for a 3 week trip away.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Because it had a paper
disc. So when I got back, I then had my digi card. so I could then have another rental motor, which luckily turned into a DAF XF rather than a Mercedes Axor for three another 3 weeks out. So, yeah.
We had them at DHL. How many times did you wreck your shin getting up the steps in them?
In the Axor. Yeah. And what gets you as well, because Tantons used to have quite a lot on bulk haulage, but the cab's a bit narrow, isn't it? So especially during sugar beet campaign, because everything's done automated through the window, you pull up at the booth and you have to, I can't bloody reach, can I? So you're hanging out the cab to try and put, and then because there's a rail or something above your head for the blind, I can't remember what it is now, it's been a while in there. So you get back in and whack your head, three times a day and still never bloody learn.
But they were amongst Turkish haulers, they were all the rage, weren't they?
They love them. I mean,
they used to wear the old, do you remember the Turkish, they used to wear the old suit jackets and all that, didn't they?
I mean, them Axors, as a day truck, I thought were brilliant. They had a lovely little steering wheel. Steering was really
light. I had a brand new one at Iowa Express for doing day work, and I thought it was a cracking little truck.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's just they're obviously not designed for somebody to have three weeks worth of gear. But then it was either Dawson Rentals, whatever rental company it was, they're not buying rental trucks en masse, thinking, well, Trans Am might occasionally need one a year for a driver to have a nice big cab. But again, that was 20 years ago. Nowadays, a rental truck is probably going to be a big cab, isn't it?
I don't think they make little cabs much anymore, do they?
No, they're kind of more, I think they're not necessarily special order, but you might as well just get an FH rather than FM as such as a rental.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know? Yeah. Well, it's people look at reselling and getting rid of them, and that's all that nowadays. That's why they're white, isn't they? So they take the stickers off and just shove it straight into the resale market.
That's it. Or export market, really, isn't it? Send them off to Africa.
Cut the exhaust box off it, remap it, job done.
That's it, yeah. ship it back over, please, boys. We'll have it back. Yeah. This episode of Match Trucking Great Podcast is kindly sponsored by CUDA UK. CUDA offer one of the largest ranges of truck accessories in the UK and Europe, partnering with well-known brands such as Hadley, Nedking, Truck Chef, Strands, TomTom, Lightfix, and many more. Shop online at www.cudauk.limited.uk and use a discount code TRUCKINGGREAT for 10% off your next order. Thank you very much, CUDA, for your support. We really appreciate it.
Question number 6.
Oh.
In 1984, which iconic truck won Truck of the Year for its advanced design and engineering? In the same year, this manufacturer introduced an adjustable wind deflector system to help improve aerodynamics and drag.
Oh.
Do you like that question?
What was the year again?
84. I'll read the question again. In 1984, which iconic truck won Truck of the Year for its advanced design and engineering? In the same year, this manufacturer introduced an adjustable wind deflector system to help improve aerodynamics and drag.
Okay. I think this is a trick question aimed at a certain person, so I'm going to go with this answer.
Well, I'm not a massive fan of AI and stuff like that, but I did see somebody have made a really good AI video of all the Truck of the Years. It wasn't Carl Jones because it was good. Sorry, Carl. Yeah. I'm sure he's not listening, but if he is, he'll send me an abusive text, and I take it, and I have apologised. But yeah, it's good because it had like driving down the road, and it morphed into the next one, and then the next one, and I just thought it was a good little video.
I saw the same video.
I thought it was, rather than putting a real truck in a pretend situation, all that kind of guff, this was just like the evolution of something. I thought it was really good. So,
brilliant. Have you wrote your answers down?
Yes.
I've got mine down.
Right, Matt, we'll come to you first.
I think it's the Volvo F10.
Jim?
I'll put that.
Alex?
No!
Volvo F10. I've written it down, and I thought because we've got Jim who always prattles on about Volvo F10. I didn't mean prattle. I mean, talks about Volvo F10.
Enthusiastically.
Like, talks about, and that's why I said I think this is aimed at a certain person.
But it could be a double bluff.
Well, it was for Jim because he didn't get the answer right, did he?
How do you know? I hadn't told you what the answer is.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, go on then.
It's 1985. Why are you total
flonker?
So there's a little bit of a section that I'm going to read straight after this as well, so just bear with me. So the correct answer is Volvo F10. Equipped with the TD100 9.6-litre straight-six diesel engine. Early models pushed around 261 HP, while later models with intercoolers reached up to 320.
The thing what might have thrown Jim is obviously the F10 was launched in the late 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's when it actually came out. So this would be like the Mark II.
But the specificness of 1985.
84.
I always go on about the 84, 85, didn't I?
Yeah. I can't believe you never got that.
I'm not getting that title.
I call the
F10 badges off.
Go and take that number plate off as well.
As soon as I heard the question, I thought it, but Alex said it. And I just thought, Jim's got to get that.
Yeah, and he didn't.
And he didn't, yeah.
Look at his little face.
Can you laugh a bit less, mate?
It's when Jim's got a question aimed at him and he gets it wrong.
And I can't believe he's looked at Squeaky's questions and got it wrong.
Exactly.
Dan Fran Primal with me earlier on, and I've still got it wrong. Go on, just say what's the name to say Squeaky next question. What the name of my kids? I'll get that right.
I should hope so.
Okay, question number 7. Abnormal load carriers will often show up.
Oh no.
Who's interrupting who now?
Shush.
sorry. I've never done
that. I'm just going to turn this off in a minute.
Shall I mute him?
Abnormal load carriers will often show plates that read STGO. Cat 1, 2, or 3. Can you tell me what STGO stands for?
Oh, no, I can't.
I know.
This is a total guess.
You get a bonus point for the weight categories.
That's what I was just wondering.
S-G-T-O.
Matt knows them all.
No, I don't.
You don't get cream from it from a local chemist for SGGO. It's something completely different.
Stop giving him hints. Look.
Okay, I've got your answers wrote down.
I've got a very good guess, but I don't know the answer.
All right, so we'll go with Alex first then.
Standard gauge transport operating.
That's not a bad guess.
Special types group order.
Matt.
Special types goods order.
Oh, so Alex, you're way out, I'm afraid, my friend.
Oh, I didn't know it.
But it was a good guess, though. I thought
it was a good guess. Yeah,
standard gauge.
It was a good guess.
You know, like it's out of gauge, isn't it? You know, so
Matt, you also are wrong.
Am I?
And Jim, you are correct. It's special types general order.
Can you remind me? Does Matt teach CPC classes?
Doesn't come up on there, mate.
Don't come up.
Obviously it don't.
You should make it into the next one, mate, because you know all about it.
So what are the weight categories for 1, 2, and 3?
I know one's the heaviest.
No.
Three's the heaviest.
Jim.
No. I don't know about that. So what are the weight categories, Matt?
Do we know what the weights are or not?
Not off the top of my head.
Is 300 ton or 150
ton? 150 ton for 3, yeah.
I think 2 is up to 100 ton and 150.
I think Dazzle said it in a lot of podcasts before, didn't they, what they were, but...
No, he didn't say what the weights were. No, he just mentioned that his crane was it 99...
99.9,
when he just say comes under that 100 ton limit.
So he was category 2. I thought he was cat 3. We'll have to find out. Put in the show notes.
Let's not give out false information to people.
I'd like to think that if anyone who listens to this runs Special Types General Order, they will know. But yeah, I'll endeavour to find that one out. Actually,
they'll be running Group Order, though, not General, Matt.
What is it? Oh, Group Order. I put goods, so I was wrong anyway.
Just to clarify, Special Types General Order.
General Order.
Yeah.
General Order. General Order and Jim don't often go together, do they, to be fair?
No. All right, question number 8. This is a good one, this, so listen carefully, okay? In the 1960s, Scammell offered a semi-automatic gearbox on heavy-duty prime movers, eliminating the traditional clutch pedal. But in 2001, which manufacturer released a fully automatic gearbox known as AMT?
2001.
I think I know that. I was driving the Tesco's at the time. We had them there.
Would you like me to read it again?
Yes, please.
In the 1960s, Scammell offered a semi-automatic gearbox on heavy-duty prime movers, eliminating the traditional clutch pedal. But in 2001, which manufacturer released a fully automated gearbox known as AMT, which stands for Automated Manual Transmission?
Shall I go first?
All right, go on, Jim.
I'm going to go with MAN.
Alex?
Volvo.
Matt?
I've gone with ERF.
And the correct answer is Volvo.
Yeah.
Really?
God.
Well, yeah, it was because I thought about it, and I thought Volvo did one before the iShift, and it was like a little, little thing with a little ball on top, like, you know, it was before the iShift, and the iShift came out around about 2000 sometime.
They did Geartronic, or Gearchronic as it was known, in the sort of 90s. I was just going with the fact that because it came from Scammell, I was thinking, is that a British connection? Really, that's then Leyland, but then I don't think it's DAF, so would it have been taken on by someone like ERF? But
was just to tie in. No. That was just to tie in the automated box scene, you know.
Yeah.
It maybe threw you a little bit, me putting that in at the beginning. But
I think it's a good question.
It threw us off.
Good question.
Yeah, I was
happy with that. Question number 9. In the UK, the M6 motorway is the longest motorway, stretching from Catthorpe Interchange to Gretna near the Scottish border.
That is scary. One and eight.
To win the point for this question, you must be within 5 miles. What is the length of this section of the M6?
From Catthorpe to where? Carlisle.
To Gretna.
I've done this question before, and I can't remember the answer.
This was in our pub quiz last Monday.
So you can rather tell me in kilometres or miles, it's up to you, but you've got to be within 5. You've got to be within 5 to get the point.
5 miles. Oh, God.
So in the UK, the M6 motorway is the longest motorway, stretching from Catthorpe Interchange to Gretna near the Scottish border. To win the point for this question, you must be within 5 miles. What is the length of this section of the M6?
Well, I'm going for an answer. I don't know, but I've had this question before. Matt's had it as well, haven't you, Matt?
In the pub quiz last week was the question about the longest motorway in the UK.
Mm.
We went for the M4.
Well, that originally that was going to be my question. What is the longest? And I just thought that's too easy. So yeah. I thought, what's the actual length of that motorway? You know, and so I thought let's.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go for this. Yeah.
Have you got your answers written down?
I've got mine, yeah.
I've got mine, but I think I'm way out.
Okay. So, Matt, what have you wrote?
I've put 360, but I think that's too much.
Jim?
230.
Alex?
325.
Miles?
Yeah, miles, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the correct answer is 232 miles.
I meant kilometres.
Yeah, me too.
That'd be 370 odd, would it?
Mm.
Yeah,
373. What, 373 kilometres?
Kilometres.
So if I was 360 kilometres, I would have been close.
Yeah.
But I said miles.
Yeah.
Did I win the point there?
You got the point there, yeah.
So what is it, 232? I look at Jim, he's all smiles now, isn't he? He's all smiles now. Jim, look.
He's yours.
Yeah, Matt, cut him off.
So was that just a guess, Jim, or was it a...
I kind of got it from my grey matter because I thought he was going to go the shortest motorway.
Yeah.
Which is, that's changed quite a lot. I think, is it the shortest motorway one in Manchester town in city centre now? Or...
I don't know.
But yeah, it's one of them trivia questions that I kind of scratched out of my...
I was just trying to work out in my head from there to there and there to there, and I was just...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I went for time. How long will it take you?
No wonder there's traffic jams for Spaghetti Junction if you're thinking, how long have I travelled?
When was the last time I went to Spaghetti Junction?
Yeah.
When was the last time you went on a frigging motorway?
When I went to Greece 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Didn't break down, Matt, as well. Get there and back it quickly without breaking down.
What's that? I couldn't get home. The van was fine, but my personal transport let me down. But the last time I was in a truck on a motorway was going to Kelsall. I tickled the M6, well, and the M1. But a truck working professionally would have been possibly earlier this year. I can't remember.
Oh, no, actually, Matt, Matt, I've got it wrote down here. It says, in 1984, which iconic truck did Matt drive for the last time on it?
Not a motorway.
True story.
is that going to be question 10?
So, question 10.
Well, when the last time Matt drove a truck on a motorway professionally.
Yeah.
Because I'll get it wrong.
Okay, last but not least, question number 10 is, on the traditional CB, what does the code 1010 mean? So the answer is actually quite specific, but we will allow some variations of it.
Yeah. Where's he walked off to? He's starting to get a round computer.
I'm just trying to...
So Matt got up from his chair to do something, and Jim's worried about that he's cheating and that he's got...
No. I've already got my answer written down. I was just
he's getting old paper book of 10 codes written out. He's gone for a 10-100.
I haven't got 10-100. It's 10-200.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, well, 10. Quite the old CB app squeaking it. Eh?
Yeah, it is a good app.
We picked up a real good few in the last couple of weeks of people joining in. It's, yeah. I mean, Kevin O'Sullivan, we have to get him on the podcast.
I agree.
He's got a CB dictionary, look. We have to get Kevin O'Sullivan on. Oh, wow, fabulous.
So
Matt, put them on, mate, will you? Definitely.
Matt's come back to the screen and he's showing us probably 5, 6, 7.
What's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different CB jargon handbooks. So I really hope I get this question right. if not, I've written my answer down. I'm going to just check my answer now. And if you see me shaking
check
my head.
Yeah, go on. I've put 10-10 till we do it again. So I've wrote my... You wrote your Alex down, yeah?
Yeah, I have. I've hit goodbye.
I wrote goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye. Okay. That's what I've hit.
End of transmission.
What have you wrote down, Jim? Because you're changing your mind now.
Goodbye, and then I'm just writing down now, end of transmission.
End of transmission.
So what have you read in your little book, Matt?
I've wrote that down, goodbye.
See,
yeah.
I've put on the side, but there's variation looking at these now.
Because some of those will be American.
Yeah, that was GB. In America, according to this... That means there's a fight in progress.
The police code you're looking up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there'll be police codes,
official 10 code. Oh yeah, transmission complete, standing by. I was just shows how much I've paid attention. I was just going by smoking a bandit where he says I'm 10-10 on the side.
Alex, what did you write down?
Goodbye.
Okay, and so the correct answer is transmission completed, standing by. Right, but we will allow. But yeah, unfortunately, Matt, you're not getting a point for that.
No, I've got all the reference material there, and I'm still wrong. And then even when I'm trying to check it, I'm looking in the wrong part.
Yeah, so look at it.
So tot your points up. Don't shout them out just yet. Tot your points up.
Should I mute Jim? Should I mute Jim? Stop him shouting out.
Yeah, stop him shouting out.
How dare you?
This is our motorised home.
Is he drawing a dog?
Oh no. People are going to be tuning in and going, what have I listened to of this?
Yeah.
Like Phoenix Knights tribute podcast.
Break from the norm, it's funny, man.
How many points did you get, Alex?
Seven.
Matt, how many did you get?
I only got six.
And Jim?
Seven.
Oh, seven. Seven as well.
Oh, I've got a tiebreaker.
Okay. Let me think, because I haven't.
Should we do a CB code as a tiebreaker?
No.
As I've got the books here.
Yeah, you can do. I was just my mind. I'm thinking of a question. So
while he's doing that, I'll ask you a couple of CB jargon. See if you know.
What,
all right. What's a Willy Weaver?
I don't know.
Do you want to have a guess?
Is it a beaver?
It's not Cockney rhyming slang, Jim. This is CB.
Sorry.
A Willy Weaver.
Any ideas?
I don't want to know what that is.
It's a drunk driver.
Oh.
Mm. Here's one for Squeaky. What's a wobbly box?
A caravan.
Mobile home on a trailer.
A wobbly box. Okay, I'm nearly ready. Just bear with me 1 second.
To the nearest million, Alex.
Yeah.
Here's one for Jim. What is we quit?
We quit?
Yes.
Is that a slang?
Yeah, it's to sign off.
What was it? We quit.
Ah, all right.
It's 88, isn't it?
Well, how about this town in the UK? What town's nickname is Turkey Town?
Norwich.
No. That would be Canary Town, I would have thought, wouldn't it? I've no idea why it's called Turkey Town, because I can't see the relevance in the name of the two places. Do you want to take a guess?
No idea. Yep.
Malvern / Stratford-on-Avon.
Of course.
Oh, what?
Naturally.
You wouldn't think.
Turkey Town.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing Bernard Matthews now speaking in a Malvern accent.
Bernard Matthews.
These turkeys are lovely, aren't they?
Beautiful.
Right, are you ready for your tiebreaker question?
Yeah.
So to get the point, you've got to be the nearest to this number.
Okay. Oh, God.
Which will make sense when I ask the question. So whoever's got the nearest number will get the point. If you both get the same, then we just leave it at that, and it's a joint, and we'll come back and we'll do another quiz.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am travelling on the A74M northbound, and I want to go to the Feckham truck stop. Which junction do I need?
I've got it.
That's because the numbers go from one downwards or down my way.
There's actually about time when I sent to Les Maego off the wrong junction. Yeah. Do you remember that, Matt?
Yeah.
which one's Les Maego?
Which junction on the M6 for Ecclefechan?
M75, M74. Do you want the answer?
No, hang on a minute. It's telling me to book flights at SEPT. I want to go Junction 9. I don't know.
14.
Alex, what did you say?
14.
Jim, what did you say?
9.
You're both wrong.
Oh.
It's Junction 19.
That's what I said.
Oh, is it?
Oh. But I wrote that down as well, Squeak.
Yeah.
Look, it's there.
Junction 9, what's it? Is it Les Mahago Junction 9?
Junction 10.
No,
10.
Yeah, it's Les Mahago.
Right, there you go. Yeah. I've stopped.
Anyway, all right, I'll give you one more. Give you one more then.
Okay.
So, still on the A74M.
Fuck's sake, Jesus Christ. That's like 300 miles from me. Why can't we do the M1?
Are you doing kilometres or miles? So this is just because, obviously, these are not wrote down, so I've got to... this is just off the top of my head. So still travelling north on the A74M, there is a new truck stop that's just opened within the last month.
Mm.
What junction do I need to come off at for this new truck stop?
Tricky question. It's a tricky question, this one. Because I was coming down the other day and I thought, I'm going to go to this truck stop. But then I was sailing along, waiting for the junction to come, and then it was a different junction altogether.
So the truck stop is actually is named by the junction number.
It is. Yeah, it is, yeah. So actually, it's quite good. I've been there quite a few times. It's my go-to stop, so it's a bit... as long as I'm going north, not south.
Alex is one, because I'm going to say junction 4.
45.
And it's junction 45.
Yeah, junction 45. And I'll tell you what, it's a good stop, actually. It's got really good showers. But coming south, I was looking for junction 45. And so I ended up at 44, and I was like, where's this bloody junction? You can't get off coming south. You've got to come off at Brecknell and work your way through.
That's right, going north.
When you come out the truck stop, you can't come short to the motorway. You've got to go through Gretna Green to get to it.
The village and come back out.
But it is a brilliant truck stop. Brilliant truck stop. And apparently the fuel pump's fully chocking about 2 seconds. Literally, it's really quick. Yeah. Brilliant showers, good cafe, good little shop, everything.
I've not been there. There's a few of our lads that stay there. One of the lads that works at our place called Coxie, he was telling me about it. That's his go-to when he goes up that way. But
it's really good.
Yeah, I tend to try and get to Route 74 truck stop at Les Mahago, or if I need to stop short of that, then I'll go to Ecclefechan.
I like that 45. It's good. It's a really nice truck stop. Plenty of space. Really good.
Maybe one that we'll give a try. Anyway, we shall wrap this up because I think we've done an hour. Well over time. So. I'll hand over to Matt to do his outro. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we understand that it is very chaotic when there are four of us on at one time. It is something that we're trying to work with, something we're trying to work on, should I say, and develop our skills, as not over-talking each other and stuff like that. It is very difficult because we do it remotely. But we understand. We do listen to the feedback. We do read the comments. It is something that we're going to work on. But,
Squeaky. Don't we totally ignore them? Listen to the comments and then read them and just think, what do they know? I'm just carrying on. Carry on regardless.
But you are talking over Squeaky.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Ignore him. What Squeaky says. Ignore him.
Literally just saying it. And he goes...
there's me that gets a blame for everything.
I was just about to say Jim's being a good boy for once.
Yeah.
Well, almost.
Over to you, Matt.
Anyway, yes. Well, congratulations, Alex, on winning the first big fat trucking quiz. I think it was called, wasn't it?
Of the year.
Let's ask the listeners, what should we call it?
All right, yeah. So any other suggestions, and if there's a better suggestion than the big fat quiz of the year, we'll certainly take it on board. And did you enjoy the format? Would you like more of them or even less? But
what about if some of the listeners send some questions in, if they're interested? Do you know, if they enjoy it, they like it, and they've got some quirky questions, you know, like the length of the M6 and stuff like that, you know, maybe they want to send some questions in or something.
They would need to send them directly to Trucker Squeaky probably on his TikTok, because otherwise we can't have Jim seeing him for starters, let alone everybody.
No, that's it. Yeah. Send him to Squeaks.
But I just want, yeah, so congratulations to Alex. Thank you very much for setting it, Squeaky. I've very much enjoyed it, and they were a really good mix of questions, I thought. I thought they were very well thought out.
Mm.
So I for one, would happily take part in another one, even though I'm clearly rubbish because I was last. But yeah, anyway, that's pretty much about it. Thank you once again to anybody who's donated. It all really does help. Thank you to all the regular sponsors, QDUK, GoFetch, Creasy Drainage, and we shall hopefully catch you all again very soon. So all that remains is thank you very much, Jim Boy.
Thank you, mate. Cheers. Enjoy it tonight. Different. Yeah, brilliant. Well done.
Yeah, will do. Thank you very much, Alex.
Thank you very much. Yeah, had a good evening. Thank you.
And thank you very much to Twice Nightly Whiteley, a.k.a. Trucker Squeaky, for hosting the quiz. I think it's been great.
Well done.
You're very welcome.
Well done, mate. Well
lovely job. Cheers, boys. We'll speak to you all soon.
Bye. See you soon.
Ta-da. Bye-bye. Bye.